Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 8? 1 Kings chapter 8. Delaney and I, we have this crazy little thing we do sometimes. She'll ask me, what is the title of the message? I never tell her. I don't even know why she asks anymore, but I don't tell her what the title is. I keep her in suspense. And so finally I just said, well, the title is I Don't Know. And she said, well, that's what the title was last week. And I said, well, this is I Don't Know part two. But I was thinking about the title of this message, Standing on the Promises. Standing on the Promises of God. And as I was thinking about it as we were driving in, I thought, you know, more often than not, I think we stumble over the promises of God. You know, we don't necessarily stand firm. And if you're like me, sometimes it's like you're standing firm on the promises, and other times it's like, you know the promises, but yet you find it very difficult. It's kind of like a wave. You know, you're high sometimes, and then you're down in the swell at others when it comes to the promises of God. And isn't that true? And so this morning, what I'd like to do out of this passage is really give you the reassurance about the promises of God. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen, to the glory of God through us. Now in 1 Kings chapter 8, this is like to me the Old Testament version of what Paul wrote. In Kings, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. So this morning, I'd like to look at three of those promises. The first promise, and by the way, there's going to be some scripture with each one of these promises, and you can just take a note of what those are. But the first promise is the promise of God's peace. The promise of God's peace. Do we have any worriers in the congregation this morning? Does anybody here, you worry? And you know what it's like to worry. We all know what it's like. We've got a few hands going up. I notice mine is up too. And Dan back there. You know, we do. We worry. And certainly you might say, well, you know, I have some things in life to worry about. I've got some serious issues going on, and maybe they're family issues. Maybe it's issues with your job. It might be health related. It might be personal. But we do tend to worry. Someone said worrying is stupid. You know, it's like walking around with an umbrella waiting for it to rain. I think that's how we are sometimes with our worries. It's like we're just kind of walking around, and it's like we're just waiting for something to happen. We know something's going to happen. And so we worry about it. And someone else wrote, well, today is the tomorrow that we worried about yesterday. Right? Today is the tomorrow that we worried about yesterday. In other words, we were thinking about tomorrow yesterday, and we were worried about something, and here it is today, and it just didn't happen. And so that's how it is with our worries. But worry, I think, one of the issues is it does have a way of taking over our lives. It begins to actually control us. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, he said, let the peace of God rule. In other words, God's peace is to rule. God's peace is to control our hearts. But so often we let our worries and our concerns take control over every action that we do. Worry. I think if you're a worry, you're probably in good company, by the way. I think Jesus was surrounded by worriers. I mean, he had 12 disciples, and I think every one of them probably worried. I mean, can you imagine going the places where, you know, Jesus went, dealing with the issues that Jesus dealt with? And so, you know, I think 24/7, there were a bunch of worriers around Jesus. Imagine that. You're with the Son of God. I mean, it's God in human form. You're within this close proximity to him, and yet you're still worrying. You say, well, that just doesn't make sense. It's because it's our human nature. And Jesus understood that. God understands that it is our nature to be worriers. And so Jesus promised, this is one of the promises, here it is, here we go, John chapter 14, verse 27. Here's a promise. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So what is the promise? The promise is the very peace of God, and it says, I give to you. A promise, the gift of peace. Now that is not just the promise of yesterday. You know, that's not just the promise of a bunch of upset and worried disciples. This is a promise for you today. It is a promise for you now. And so Jesus gives you his own peace. Something Jesus never did, by the way, is Jesus never worried. Think about all that Jesus went through. He never worried. Do you know why? Jesus never worried because he had complete faith. He had complete trust. He had a complete reliance upon the Father. He never worried. Although he was God in human form, he still had some human tendency, we know, but he didn't worry. And I want you to think about some of the things that Jesus could have worried about. We're just going to take one example. Imagine Jesus. He's teaching. The people are all gathered around. He's been teaching for some time, and there's literally thousands of people. There's over 5,000 people out there, and they're getting hungry. And you know, it's not like there was Burger King down on the corner. But they're getting hungry, and the disciples are getting worried, and they say, Jesus, these people, they're all getting hungry. Now, Jesus could have, you know, he could have said, we'll go down to Burger King and get 5,000, you know, Whopper Juniors or whatever. Whopper, what are they? What's the big Whopper?
You got it.
Okay, I got it. The Whopper Junior.
And the pies.
Yes, we have the Whopper Junior and the pies. And imagine if Jesus could have just said, well, he didn't quite do that, but he did say, I want you to go, and there's a young man, and you're going to find him, and he's going to have some fish and loaves. Bring it to me. And the disciples are like, well, that's not going to feed all these guys. The disciples are worried. Jesus takes the fish, the loaves, and he said, now I want you to start passing it out. And they pass it out, and it's like they never ran out. I mean, that is God. I mean, you're just like, wow, God. I mean, Jesus never worried because he knew that God could do anything. He could multiply whatever, the food. And so Jesus, that perfect peace at all times. And he just said, you know, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are going on in your life. I will give you my own peace. And according to Jesus, peace is the absence of a troubled heart. Has there been even one of you let's just take this past week, that has not had a troubled heart about something? Have you gone through the entire week and you can say, man, my heart was at peace all week long. There's nothing that bothered me. I had no trouble. I had no anxiety whatsoever about anything. Most of us have dealt with something this past week that has troubled us. But peace is the absence of the troubled heart. And Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Now you say, well, how is that possible? How does he do that? Well, it goes like this. Paul writing to the Galatians, and I know I quote this verse often because it is so important, but to the Galatians, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and what? Peace. And so you say, well, that fruit, in other words, the fruit, the very spirit that provides the fruit is living inside of you. And I thought about this, and it's like, you know, it's like saying, well, you know, I want an orange. Oh, how do I go get an orange? Well, there's an orange tree in your backyard. It's there. It's the fruit off the tree. It's in your yard. It's available. You can go out at any time. You can pick the fruit. You can enjoy it. You can eat it. The peace of God, all the fruit, in fact, of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, whatever it is yours because the very Spirit of God is living inside of you. And I think, well, you know, this passage in Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose trust is in you, whose mind is stayed upon you, all your thoughts fixed upon him. And it's like when that happens, when you begin to do that, God says, well, you know, I'm going to supply you with what it is that you need in order to live without that troubled heart. Paul wrote to the Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And I key in on that part, surpasses all understanding. Because we can't really understand how is it that we can experience peace in the midst of trials and difficulties that most people would be freaking out over. It surpasses understanding. And sometimes a person will look at a believer and they will say, man, how can you, you know, go through this? How is it that you can be so at peace during this time? Everybody else is freaking out. That is the peace of God. It surpasses understanding. It is so great. It is so miraculous that it's like you can't even comprehend it. That's the peace of God. It's the peace of God that we need today. Well, there are many promises, but this next promise, so appropriate in our time that we live now, and that is the promise of God's protection. Here is the passage, Psalm 121, beginning at verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth, and he will not allow your foot to be removed. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper, and the Lord is your shade at your right hand, and the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I tell you, I live by this promise. You know, going through so many personal difficulties in our own situation, you know, with my extended family and just some very deep, deep issues. You know, my dad and I, we haven't spoken in over a year. It is not because I have not reached out to him, but there are just issues going on and their attorney has told them, they said, don't even talk to him. Don't even when my mom passed, wouldn't call. And my sister said, you really need to call him. And you need to call JD. No phone call. No nothing. And it's like, you know, not only that, you know, when you see signatures on things that remove you and that, you know, manipulate you and that are not good for you, and you realize, well, that's my dad's signature. The entire family's signature. And it's like, man, are we going to even have a place to live, you know, in a year from now or what? And so there's these things and they weigh on me, and I find especially at night. And maybe you understand how that is. It's like for some reason, in the middle of the night, the thoughts are magnified. And then what I do is I wake up in the morning, Delaney and I, one of the first things we like to do is we get into the Psalms, and it's like God will take me to something that will give me some assurance. Some sense of peace that, you know, wait, you might have thought that last night, but let me bring you back to reality. Here's the reality. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? Where is my help? Where is your help? Well, your help is in the Lord. God is your protector. And I'd read a story about the early American Indians. And they had a unique practice of training young braves. And on the night of a boy's 13th birthday, after learning hunting and scouting and fishing skills, he was put to one final test. And he was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. And until then, he had never been away from the security of the family and the tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and was taken several miles away. And when he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of a thick woods. He was terrified. Every time a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. And after what seemed like an eternity, the dawn broke, and the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest, and he begins to look around. The boy saw flowers, he saw trees, and he saw the outline of the path. And then to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away. And he was armed with a bow and an arrow. And it was his father. He'd been there all night long, watching. You know, it is so wonderful when we take that whole principle that, you know, we sleep, God never sleeps. There may be people who plot against you or plot against me, or situations that you know, in the middle of the night, you wake up and guess what? God has already been awake. He neither slumbers, he does not sleep. And his watchfulness is continual for you, just like a father. And he is our protective heavenly father. Now, there is a third promise. I think we all need to rely on this promise, and that is God's provision, God providing. Now, I just, you know, it's getting near the Christmas season and everything. We're kind of in that season, but do you, any of you here, and you wonder, you know, kind of something going on, and it's like, man, how is God going to provide in this time? Maybe it's a financial crisis for you. And you're like, man, what are we going to do? How is God going to deal with this financial situation? How is he going to provide for us? I think this is one of the promises of God that we have the most difficult time standing on. Delene and I, we've been through our own financial times, especially in our earlier years where, you know, we really didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. I mean, we just didn't know. Fortunately, we had some wild game, you know, out there, and I would go out and shoot a deer, you know, and you know, that's the good thing about living a rural life. You know, when you don't have the money, at least you can go. But that didn't apply to our electricity. And so that was like, you know, we couldn't make that. And so sometimes we were in the dark. We didn't have a telephone. You know, I mean, there's just those times of crisis that you go through, and it's like, man, how is this even going to work out? I don't even see a way. And yet God always comes through. I can never think of a time where God did not provide. Now, it doesn't mean that you get everything you want, but it simply means that the needs that you have, God already knows what they are. And because he knows what they are, it's not like he's going to ignore you and say, well, I know you need that, you know, but, you know, tough luck. Man, I'm fresh out of that. God is never out of whatever it is that you need. And he has promised that he will never ignore those needs. One of the great examples that is given is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Jesus, he said in verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. And then he gets into the very basic needs. He said, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And so Jesus, now he's addressing these very basic needs of life. And he said, you know, I already know about those. And then he goes on to say, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Think about that passage. Jesus is saying, you know, God takes care of it. It's not that the birds take care of themselves. It's that God is aware of every living creature, and he's making sure that they're all taken care of. We like to sit and watch the robins out in the yard. Guess, you know what they're doing? They're pecking around. I've never seen a robin worry. Never. But imagine if there were two robins in the yard. Rob and Ben. Robin. Rob says to Ben, you know, Ben, do you think we're going to find a worm today? And Ben looks back at Rob. I don't know, Rob. I haven't seen any. And suddenly Rob begins to, you know, pick at his feathers. And he starts pulling his feathers out. Ben, are we going to find a worm? I don't know. And Ben begins to chew on his toenails. Are we going to find worms today? Can you imagine if the birds worried? They don't worry. You know why? Because God has always taken care of them. God meets their need. And Jesus essentially is saying, you know what? If God is concerned about the birds of the air, how much more does he value you? Isn't he going to take care of you? And so why? Why, in essence, in a sense, why do we worry about where the next worm is going to come from? But so often we do. And Jesus went on to point out that this tendency that we have toward worry is because so often we are guilty of having little faith. And that gets down to the root of the problem. Where does anxiety, where does worry, where does it all come from? It comes from this problem within us that's inherent, and it's called little faith. Do you deal sometimes with little faith? It's a struggle. I deal with it. I'm the pastor. It's like I deal with it all the time. It's like, man, my faith right now is so little. Do you know what I do when I realize that? I just begin to confess to the Lord and say, Lord, I confess to you, my faith is little. I have determined that, you know, with all the stupid things I've done in life, one thing I really want to have and desire to have is I really desire strong faith. I want to have strong faith all the time so that, you know, when the Lord, when I go face to face with him, you know, he can say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, and one of the things I would love that he could commend me on is, you know, you went through this and your faith was strong and it stayed strong. And I begin to realize in order for me to have that very strong faith that I'd like to have, I got to go through some things. And you do too, because that is how our faith grows, and that is how it is strengthened. It's when we're actually going through these things. We have a choice. Every obstacle, every situation in life, we choose, am I going to believe God? Am I going to trust him? Am I going to stand upon his promises, or am I going to stumble through them? I want to stand. How about you? I want to stand on those promises. I want to say, God, your word says you will not fail to keep one promise. Now, why can't I simply believe that and go through this time untroubled? Standing upon the promises of God. I like to think that whatever it is that I do need, and God already knows about it. Some things that I need are surprises to me. I never thought, well, I didn't know I would need that. But you know, Paul writing to the Philippians, he said in chapter 4, verse 19, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. God has promised to provide for every need that you have. And so what do we have? We have first the promise of God's peace. The second promise is of God's protection. And then the third promise, God's provision. So let's go back now to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, and let's read it together. In fact, I think we should just stand I think we need to say it out loud. We need to just proclaim this, take it, hold on to it, believe it. Let's read it together. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all of his good promises which he promised through his servant Moses. You know what stands out to me? There's not one word that has failed. Whatever promises God gives to us through his word, he will never fail. If there's a failure, it is not on God's part of delivering. It's on our part of trusting. And so today, recommit to believing and trusting in the God who will not fail in his promises and say, I am going to believe and I'm going to stand on these promises. And by the way, you can go through the Word of God and find hundreds and hundreds of promises that apply to you. Standing on the promises of God. Let's pray together. And Father, we thank you for your glorious promises and the assurance that we have today that they belong to us. And we appropriate them into our lives by faith. Father, help the troubled hearts today. Help the worried. May our hearts be filled with your peace. The very fruit of the Spirit. May we enjoy that peace and live this week without troubled hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isn't God's grace amazing? Amazing grace. May this week you walk in his grace, because all these promises that we've discussed here this morning, they're all a product of the grace of God, because it's not what we deserve. We don't deserve the peace of God. We don't deserve the protection of God. We don't even deserve his provision. We are undeserving. And all favor that we receive from him is because he is gracious. He has showered his grace upon us. And so walk in that grace this week. It is amazing grace. And enjoy the promises of God. Amen. Stand on them. In Jesus' name. Amen.